Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. The Biden crime family. We dissect case by case, person by person with the legendary Garrett Ziegler. Raheem Kassam joins the program about what's happening in the United Kingdom. And as always, you guys can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
What Joe Biden did on the last day of his presidency is one of the most repulsive, disgusting, scum-of-the-earth actions we've ever seen from a leader, let alone a president of the United States. Joining us now is Garrett Ziegler. Garrett, welcome back to the program. You are the man behind the Marco Polo Project. That is MarcoPolo501c3.org. In some ways, Garrett, this is a vindication because you've been saying the whole family was involved in this stuff. They said no, and they were so worried that he needed to pardon his whole family. We're going to have another guest on tomorrow, Andrew, about Fauci and Milley, because we also need to address that. So I don't want to do that with you, Garrett. That's a whole separate category. What did Joe Biden do in the last 15 minutes of his presidency?
Well, it was astounding. I went and looked at the PDF document that the pardon attorney at the DOJ put out, and it said that the pardon for Sarah Biden, which is his sister-in-law, Jimmy's wife, his sister Valerie, her husband John, and both of his brothers, Jimmy and Frankie, was signed on the 19th. But that PDF only was released on the website at 11:30, right when, even after the motorcade had arrived at the Capitol. What this means is, and I'm not sure we're going to find it in FOIA, because the executive office of the president isn't subject to FOIA, number one. And number two, I think it was a phone call. They made sure, they deliberately told the pardon attorney, do not put this online until 11:30, because he signed both Milley and the J6 scammers on the 19th as well. But he specifically told them not to publish this till 11:30 a.m. with 30 minutes left. You know, the funny thing is, Charlie, we don't have Valerie or John from the laptop. I'm not saying they didn't commit crimes. Of course they did. Joe pardoned him. But on the laptop itself, his sister Valerie and her husband John, there's no evidence of criminal activity by them on the laptop. What this means is there's a lot of scummy stuff, lobbying, unregistered lobbying. But that means that Joe is aware of things not on this laptop, which means it's not in our report, that they did. Now, Frankie, Jimmy, the brothers, there's multiple felonies for them. And I don't know how Jimmy's wife, Sarah Jones Biden, still has her bar license. She's still barred in Maryland and D.C., and she did unconscionable things compared to Rudy and John Eastman and Jeff Clark, all of whom have tentatively lost their bar license. So I think it is a vindication, number one. But number two, I wanted to talk about the time frame. Hunter got January 1st, 2014, complete federal immunity to December 1st of 2024. Incredibly, his siblings got even more than that. His siblings got up to January 19th of 2025, just 3 days ago. So that means that they are all of his family members, his son and both of his brothers, his sisters, his brother-in-law and sister-in-law, six individuals received more time in terms of federal immunity than even Richard Nixon, twice the length. I just figured out the number of days that Richard Nixon got it for. January 20th, 1969 to August 9th of 1974. That is half of the federal immunity that all of Joe Biden's closest six individuals on planet Earth just received. So unprecedented isn't even a strong enough word. Unprecedented just means that something new has occurred that is likely to set a new precedent, right? I don't think there'll be a repeat of this. This will be a one-off. I don't think they'll receive any.
So, Garrett, let's take a step back. I got to slow us down a little bit. I read the part and I didn't know who half these people were. So you said this kind of in passing. Who are these people that receive pardons, and why are wives receiving preemptive pardons going back a decade?
So these pardons, three of the five are Joe's siblings. Joe is the classic oldest Irish Catholic son. What that means is he got the most opportunities. Even Jimmy in an interview said that Joe got the best cut of meat growing up. So Joe's the oldest. And then followed by Joe is Valerie, the sister, Jimmy, the little brother, who was the most involved, who was, if I had to pick any of the five who just got pardoned, Charlie, Jimmy was the one who most needed it. And then the littlest brother, the most pathetic Biden by any metric, Frankie. Those are his three siblings. Now, the other two individuals were the spouses of those first two. Valerie's married to John Owens. And John Owens was Joe's law school roommate and best friend at Syracuse. So the president's best friend at Syracuse Law, John Owens, married his sister Valerie, but he also just got a pardon. So the Syracuse Law School class of 1966 should have a scarlet letter around its neck for the next, you know, for eternity, because they're probably the only people, the only law school class out of Syracuse to have an unconditional pardon given to one of its graduates. And then there's Sarah Jones Biden, the wife of Jimmy. Like I said, the only three of these five individuals do we have evidence from the laptop of engaging in criminal activity. That means that Joe is aware in the case of Valerie and John Owens of criminal activity that they engaged in outside of the laptop. So there's stuff that and only Jimmy and Sarah have been contacted by the congressional committees. They're the only ones who Comer and folks wanted to talk to. So that means that Frankie and all these other three individuals, they know something that the public still doesn't know. And, you know, there are two other laptops that belong to Hunter, which we go into on our report, that we don't have access to, one of which was picked up by the DEA in their raid of Hunter's psychiatrist, Keith Abloh. And the other was stolen by Russian drug dealers in Vegas. So the compromat is still out there. We just have one of the three. So maybe that the pardons for Valerie and John are because of conduct captured in some of those other laptops. So again, he didn't even have the courage to release this on the morning of the 19th. He didn't even, he thought this was so egregious that he didn't even put it up with Fauci and Milley.
See, this was the correct analysis. They knew that if President Trump knew about this before his inaugural, he would have mentioned it in the inaugural, and that he would have turned around and would have been like, shame on you. And it would have been one of the greatest moments in American history. They knew it. This is where the Biden team said, we have to post this on the website as Trump is taking the stage. And I mean, you got to give credit to the Biden team. If you're going to sneak it in, you do it that way. But they were so petrified of a public humiliation, of which it would have been warranted, right? Of which President Trump could have said, listen, I didn't pardon my family when I left office, yet I was a victim of lawfare. And look what this lunatic just did. And like, oh, man, that would have just been, that would have honestly been very warranted given the repulsive, disgusting nature of these pardons. So in the interest of time here, Garrett, again, yes, there are names here that I have to Google. John T. Owens, he didn't pardon himself, a point that President Trump has astutely now mentioned.
Yes, I watched the interview last night with Hannity. I thought it was great. And Trump is right on the money. And it's the reason, by the way, why we dedicated 3 years to this. It's not just because Jimmy is a criminal and a money launderer. That is borne out by, number one, the pardon. Number two, the conduct on the laptop. It's that this was a RICO operation. So Joe was the unindicted, not just co-conspirator. Joe was the unindicted leader of the RICO conspiracy. And they were monetizing in, you know, I think the RICO statute is 18 U.S.C. 1961. In that federal statute, he is the valuable asset being monetized. He is the human equivalent of, you know, the cocaine trade in Colombia in the 1970s. I know it sounds crass, but that is literally what they were doing. Valerie Biden, one of the five individuals, his sister, his best friend, according to his biographers, she was the manager of every single campaign for Joe in the Senate, all six of them. And she was the manager for his failed presidential campaigns in 08 or in 1988. So that means that every vendor that Joe Biden ever used in campaigns, all that money was funneled to Valerie's political consulting firm called Joe Slade and White. So this isn't the case of an innocent spouse, right? You know, there's actually federal laws about claiming innocent spouse, especially with tax returns. A lot of wives in American history, especially mobsters, have tried to claim that. With Valerie, she is not like that. She was the head of the political consulting operation, and everything, their sinecures and their positions relied on Joe's Senate seat. Jimmy, and again, I'm not for necessarily everybody going to college, of course, but Jimmy has no practical skills either. It's one thing if you don't go to college, right, and you have street smarts, you're quick-witted, you don't need it. Jimmy, on the other hand, just from reading the emails, Charlie, has the communication skills of like a sixth grader. So he's not even impressive in his own right. It would be one thing if the Bidens grifted and were very adept and suave people and articulate, right? But they're not even that. They're the worst version of Joe, the gaffe machine. So that makes it that ups the ante and makes this thing even more of a comedy. Because it's one thing to be corrupt but impressive. They're not even impressive. And the only reason why we know so much of their criminal activity is because the smartest man Joe says he knows left a laptop at a repair shop. So they have no one else to blame. And of course, even their pardons, even Jimmy's pardon, Sarah, Valerie, John, Frankie, and Hunter's, has not stopped them from dropping their lawsuit against us. We have a trial scheduled with Hunter in Los Angeles federal court, September 6th of this year.
With the stock market at record highs, are you confident your portfolio can weather the next big downturn? Market corrections are quick and unforgiving, wiping out hard-earned gains in an instant. Smart investors know the key to financial security is diversification. That's why Noble Gold Investments makes it easy for Americans to help hedge market volatility and diversify their investments with gold. Since 2010, central banks have steadily increased their gold reserves, and in 2024, gold prices soared over 25%. Gold is simple. You buy it, you own it, you control it. Over $2 billion in precious metal sales, Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of investors diversify their portfolios with gold IRAs and physical gold. And now, when you open a qualified account, Noble Gold will gift you 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coins as a thank you. Don't wait for the next downturn to catch you off guard. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today and see how easy it is to incorporate gold into your investment strategy. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. So, Garrett, we're not focused on revenge. We're focused on justice. This is such an affront to our traditions, the likes of which there's nothing ever in the history of the Republic, where preemptive pardons are extraordinarily rare. There are two major instances of preemptive pardons in America, the first of which would be Gerald Ford preemptively pardoning Richard Nixon, the second of which would be the preemptive pardons of Jimmy Carter with draft dodgers. Those are the two largest instances of preemptive pardons that we've seen in American history. This is a whole different category. We'll handle the Fauci, the Milley, the J6 committee, and the staff tomorrow. But is this the end of criminal exposure and liability for the Biden crime family?
At the federal level, probably. I say probably because they could still call Hunter and Jimmy in, and they'll likely lie under oath. So it's contingent upon Trump's new U.S. attorneys having courage to charge them on perjury charges when they inevitably do lie. So I would urge the Congress Sarah, she definitely needs to lose her bar license, and she did commit money laundering, but she won't know as much as Jimmy and Hunter. So I would urge the Congress to bring them in. And of course, that immunity ended January 19th. So anything going forward is fair game from a federal level. But one of the great sad stories about this saga is that the Republican AGs and county DAs didn't look and didn't basically enforce the law. There's no state level immunity for Hunter and Jimmy because of these pardons. And every single crime they committed, whether it's drugs, money laundering, prostitution, they all have a local jurisdiction component. Now, to be frank, a lot of these occurred in blue states, a lot in Connecticut, a lot in New York, a lot in D.C., a lot in California. However, Hunter's financial advisor, Edward Pruitt, lives in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where Bill and Hillary used to teach. That jurisdiction, by virtue of Hunter's financial advisor being there, every single one of these wire transfers that Hunter Biden facilitated using Wells Fargo, it has jurisdiction in Arkansas. Now, there are a couple of them that are still within the statute of limitations. Most of them have passed. Of course, we've gone in and looked at what the statute of limitation is for money laundering in Arkansas. For some offenses, depending on the dollar amount, it's 6 years. For most, it's 5 years. So we're getting at the end of that. But I think there was no excuse, and the left figured this out. Now, their cases were ridiculous, and they each had a federal component to them, especially the Stormy Daniels hoax. It's a federal election component. But Hunter and Jimmy Biden's cases are much more clear-cut. They used Arkansas wires, namely their financial advisor in Fayetteville, to facilitate transactions which engaged in money laundering. That is undeniable. And even if before January 19th, somebody heard me say that and, you know, they doubted it and they didn't read our 644-page book. I know I sent you guys some copies. They just need to go look at the pardon. They have to see the breadth of this thing. One more point of privilege I want to bring up. The federal judge in Hunter's Los Angeles case, the same district in which he's suing us civilly, raked Joe over the coals because there is a portion of Joe's pardon to Hunter and his recent pardon of his siblings and their spouses that is not valid. And here it is. When he pardoned Hunter and he pardoned those folks on the January 19th, he said the pardon went through the date of the pardon. That is, for a couple of hours, that is unenforceable. What I mean by that is Joe didn't sign these things at 11:59. In the case of Hunter, we know that for a fact. We know he signed it around 5:30 because they announced it at 6. And of course, Joe is fed, wiped, and put to bed at about 8:30 every night. So we know he's not up until 11:59 signing these things. For the amount of hours, and this is technical, but just bear with me. For the amount of hours that still were in those 2 days and after he signed it, you cannot pardon prospective conduct. So the judge in Hunter's federal case said, it's not going to affect this case, but just for the record, those 6 hours that occurred from 6 p.m. to midnight on December 1st, 2024, that's not covered by the pardon. And yet Joe said it was. So and he made this mistake again with his siblings. You thought the staff secretary, the Biden equivalent of Will Scharf, you know, the staff secretary, would have made it through the day before. Joe's pardon should have said through January 18th because those hours – it's just pathetic. That's why I wanted to bring it up, is they made the mistake again, even after a federal judge excoriated them in the case of Hunter.
Garrett, everyone check out MarcoPolo501c3.org. Thank you so much, Garrett. For over 23 years, Selective Search has been America's leading matchmaking authority, especially for conservatives and people of faith. They know the challenges you face trying to find someone who respects your traditional family values and is on the same page politically. So if you are a 35 to 45-year-old man who loves God, loves his country, and wants a family, Selective Search has female clients looking to meet you. And the best part, Selective Search offers 100% complimentary and confidential candidate program for you as they search to match their clients. Some of my dear friends are using the service and speak very highly of it. Men, this is what you've been looking for. Visit SelectiveSearch.com today. This perfect conservative woman is waiting for you. Let the professionals at SelectiveSearch.com surprise you with women already looking for you in Southern California. If you're in Southern California, listen carefully. There's amazing women waiting for you. Go to SelectiveSearch.com today. That's SelectiveSearch.com today. If you're in Southern California, sign up right now and maybe you'll find your partner for the rest of your life. Check it out right now. It is shocking all time, and it is hard to keep up. But that's what this program exists to do, to make sure you're informed with the marching orders of how we are reclaiming our country. It is Liberation Week. Joining us now is Raheem Kassam. Raheem is from thenationalpulse.com. That is thenationalpulse.com. Raheem, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back.
Raheem, what is your take on the last couple of hours, the last couple of days of this new Trump administration?
Well, look, they've clearly hit the ground running. And that was one of the most important things that we were all concerned about on the run up to January 20th, was how much can you get done, how quickly, how many roadblocks are there going to be from the deep state, the holdovers, so on and so forth. Look, we lived that life in 2016 and saw the massive Sisyphean task, you know, fought by all of the people who went to, in good faith, work inside the White House, work inside the government departments. And after the election, after the victory, after that enormous victory, the entire attention span flipped to how do we actually make these first few days, weeks, and months as rewarding as they can be for the American public. So it's great to see. I think, you know, minute upon minute, I seem to be getting notifications from the White House Communications Office, which is great because we were banned from the White House Communications list under the Biden regime. So they've reinstated us over at the National Pulse. I know they're putting so many other, including your guys' reporters, in the press briefing room. And I think that is a sign of major amounts of transparency coming out of this administration, too.
The immigration raids in particular, I want to talk about the United Kingdom. But it's rather remarkable. Even in the first administration, we did not see this kind of shock and awe, this kind of action. Is that correct, Raheem?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, you know, again, 8 years ago, people were really getting to grips with, you know, how do these processes operate? And I think within the last 4 or 5 years, really, there's become ingrained institutional knowledge in MAGA world that says the processes will work however we want them to work. Actually, that's how the left approaches government. And that is how MAGA needs to approach government, too. There has been predominantly, traditionally, too much appeasement on the Republican side of cutesy little processes and bureaucratic backstops. Well, those times are over. And when you have the yoke, when you have the mantle, when you have the momentum and the wind at your back, a mandate from the public like Donald J. Trump got, then you have to use every single tool in your arsenal to you know, carry out your campaign pledges. So I'm ecstatic, frankly, with the speed and the ferocity with which they're operating.
So there is a story here that you warned about many years ago in the United Kingdom, where now 1 in 12 people in London is an illegal migrant. You warned about this. I think we have the original tape of when you warned about it, but we will. Let's play 143.
Do you know how much youth homicide went up by in London last year? Have you told your viewers that? 70%. Have you looked at the Mayoral's police and crime report from December the 12th? You look at that, almost every single measure out of 42, only 4 of them in 4 categories did crime go down. In every single other area, double-digit rises in crime across London. So you know what? To borrow a phrase from Donald Trump, London's turning into a shithole under Sadiq Khan.
You predicted it, Raheem. What's going on in the United Kingdom?
Yeah, you look, you only had to pay attention to the what were public details about how London's left-wing mayor, Sadiq Khan, was running the city into the ground, which I did, but the press didn't want to do it, which is what led to that kind of altercation on Sky News. Never been invited back since, obviously. But you now see today a London wildly unrecognizable from even 10 years ago. And even 10 years ago, it was wildly unrecognizable from 10 years prior. The idea of public safety has gone out of the window. You're seeing mass stabbing events, shootings. Yes, that's right. We actually have guns and shootings in the United Kingdom, much to the chagrin of the Second Amendment haters out there who use that falsely as an example. And you've got no integration. You've got no assimilation. Multiculturalism has led to pockets of, you know, foreign cities, enclaves, inside our capital. It happens all across Europe. In 2017, I went across Europe and the United Kingdom. I wrote a book called No-Go Zones, which laid everything out. It was, here's what's going to happen in the next 10 years if we don't arrest this immediately. And surely enough, as the Telegraph reported yesterday, the story you allude to, 1 in 12 people in London now, up to 1 in 12, are illegal migrants, illegal residents of the United Kingdom. And of course, that comes with a backstop, a plethora of issues with it, a higher level of criminality, higher levels of homelessness, higher levels of violence, sex trafficking, human trafficking, you name it. The illegal migrant population has all of those running rampant in their midst. And we have and we continue to have a mayor and a city government that refuses to do anything about it. That is what you have avoided by electing Donald Trump this time around.
So explain this to me, Raheem. Are there people in the United Kingdom that are looking at America with a fair amount of envy that you wish you could bring it back? What is the vibe within your homeland?
Yeah, massively. So look, I remember being probably the first MAGA hat owner in the United Kingdom back in 2015. And even my closest friends, my most right-wing acquaintances, sort of looked at me side-eyed and said, well, that's all a bit silly, right? And as time has progressed, and as people who have seen Donald Trump's track record, his commitment to all of this, how the movement has broadened so much, especially in the last 18, 24 months, you know, much credit, Charlie, to you and your team who have done so much of that hard work that's led to that. They're now looking at it and going, you know what? You might have had a point with that MAGA hat back in 2015. And I can't tell you now, I see Brits all the time. I saw them on the Tunnel to Towers charity run last year, some of the firemen from over there. I see them all the time now. They go, you know what? We wish we had somebody like Trump over in the UK. Now, look, it's possible. We know Nigel. We know he's got a big election in 2029, but it's a long way off.
Some of President Trump's actions are almost hard to process because they're coming in at such a rapid pace, one of which was a full repeal of affirmative action. Raheem, this would have been an unspeakable concept even 5 years ago when Trump was president. What changed? We're now on day two or day one. I can't remember. I think it was day two that President Trump just got rid of all affirmative action hiring practices in the federal government. What changed?
Well, what really changed was the mandate. The public mandate for all of this stuff, and you've seen it popping up in places all across the country in smaller scales. You know, Governor DeSantis, for as much as we had to go entering the primary, has done a fantastic job tackling what he calls woke in Florida. And so you've seen you know, the bubbling up, the grassroots reaction to so much of this stuff. How much money is being spent on it? How many diversity and inclusion officers are there operating, not just within government, by the way, but within government-sponsored NGOs across the board, State Department, embassies all around the world? And the mandate changed. So Donald Trump was actually given express orders by the voting public to end this stuff. And they just were not there 5-10 years ago. Bud Light, Dylan Mulvaney kind of world. And there has just been so many people who have brought this to Elon Musk and libs of TikTok and all of these guys kind of unveiling this to, you know, for the public to actually, you know, really have this election was like a referendum on that stuff. And en masse, the American public said, get rid of it now. Government should have certain statutory functions. That is not one of them.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. With New Year's resolutions, many of us will vow to eat healthier, and that's a good thing. But what about your beloved pets and their nutrition? Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black is on a mission to provide better nutrition for cats and dogs because, truthfully, it's not what you are feeding your pet, it's what you are not. Which is why he created Rough Greens and Meow Greens in the first place. Bring their dead food back to life with live vitamins, minerals, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, antioxidants, and so much more. All in their tasty formula your dog or cat will love. Improve your pet's coat, digestion, and energy, and have less vet bills. Let 2025 bring a new year and a new pet. Try it. Get a Jumpstart trial bag, normally $20, free with promo code CHARLIE. Just cover shipping. Resolve to provide what your pet's food has been missing with RUFF Greens. To get your free Jumpstart trial bag, go to roughgreens.com. Use promo code CHARLIE. So good, your pet will ask for it by name, roughgreens.com/Charlie. Raheem, what's going on with the latest news regarding the UK ambassador to the United States?
Yeah, it's a really important story, really fascinating sequence of events, because, of course, you know, whether or not people really still think about it, the United Kingdom is America's largest military ally. It is one of America's largest economic trading partners. And so the embassy, the ambassador, and the interoperationality when you look at Five Eyes, when you look at NATO, when you look at the bilateral information sharing, intelligence sharing that goes on, that's a pretty big deal. There's a reason that the British Embassy is one of the largest in Washington, D.C., and it speaks to the fecklessness and arrogance of the British government that for so long they have appointed ambassadors who are nasty about Donald Trump, who have said horrendous things, who have terrible things in their own past. And the latest to be floated for this plenipotentiary position is Lord Mandelson. Now, I don't necessarily expect everyone to remember or know who Lord Mandelson is, but in brief, he was one of the top advisors, known as the Dark Lord, to the left-wing Prime Minister Tony Blair in 97 onwards to about 2007. He was deeply responsible for Britain's social and economic decline. He was deeply responsible for drawing the UK closer into the European Union. And so the idea that, Keir Starmer, the current Prime Minister, would shove somebody like Lord Mandelson into the embassy in DC and expect him to be taken seriously is a great affront to President Trump. It's a great affront to the American public and what they voted for. It shows a deep disconnect of Britain with America right now. And I'm frankly embarrassed about that and apologetic, actually, to all of you about that. You know, Lord Mandelson, with his long-standing, long reported, by the way, in case you're worried about any libel laws, links to Jeffrey Epstein. Lord Mandelson, who has said some of the most skullduggerous things about Donald Trump, he simply would not be able, and by the way, still pulls, I believe, a pension from the European Union. So where do his loyalties lie? I don't think he would be an effective ambassador. And now we're hearing that actually, in a relatively unprecedented move, I did some research into this. It may be the case that Donald Trump actually refuses his credentials, which is in the gift of the receiving country of an ambassador to do, but it's deeply unheard of. I think the last time you guys did it was some corruption scandal in Korea in early 2000s. And before that, it was Iran, Cuba, and before that, it was Nazi Germany. So for that to be considered at that extent actually is a major, major diplomatic move that we need to pay close attention to. It tells you something. It tells you that it's not business as usual for this incoming Trump administration and that they're just simply not going to put up with it anymore. They did that the first 4 years. They had terrible ambassadors. They had terrible situations diplomatically. We don't need another of those situations here. And Lord Mandelson represents that.
In closing here, Raheem, we have 38 days left. Let me see. 1,458 days of this Trump administration to go. That's a lot of time left on the clock. Raheem, what do you want to see done that has not yet been done or addressed? Things not just signed, but agency directives that you want to see the new Trump administration tackle?
It's a great question. I don't know that I've put together a list yet, but I sure would like to resurrect Stephen K. Bannon's old whiteboard from his West Wing office that I believe ended up getting buried in White House storage in the basement after he left in 2017. There are so many things left on that which remain unticked. I think we have to get our heads around the legal immigration issue into the United States, because there is such a scam going on with all of that as well. I think it should be relatively prioritized. I also think, look, there are plenty of opportunities here, and I know that people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump are not going to miss out on these. There are plenty of cultural opportunities as America reaches its 250th anniversary, as you know, you're hosting the World Cup. There are all these huge cultural events that are going to be taking place over that, you know, 1,000+ days that you mentioned that I think you have to embrace. And I think you have to inculcate Trumpism, MAGAism into the American psyche over these next 4 years too. Let's have a McDonald Trump Day, a national cheat day, a national Maha cheat day for America. Changing the culture is as important as changing the politics. And there's lots of things that can happen between now and then. But listen, you say there's 4 years. They're not. There's like 2 years. You've got to get these things done this side of the midterm.
That's right. Raheem, excellent work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.